Appreciate Jamie and Josh getting us in the right mindset this morning to get us kicked off for looking at a lesson on being holy. If you want to go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to turn back there and read that section before that and again. But while you're turning there, to get us started, a thought. Imagine you just bought the latest, fastest, most expensive tablet that you could for your parents or grandparents. You went with the latest and greatest device, maybe $1,000+ for them, has the most CPU, RAM, storage, and everything else about it is flawless and pristine. And you give it to them for their birthday or whatever it is, and they're excited that you gave them such a great gift. A few weeks later down the road, you're invited over for dinner, and you go over for dinner, and you see that they've been using their new fancy tablet. However, they misunderstood its purpose and was using it as very nice cutting board. And I saw a video on that, and it was kind of a parody video, but the idea is kind of there for us. So maybe we treat our faith kind of like that tablet. We receive this great gift, but then we use it and misuse it in ways in our lives that we shouldn't. Instead, as we hit trials and issues and temptations, we should instead reflect on the life on the which we have been called by our Savior Jesus Christ, and instead use it for His purpose and His will in being holy, being different, being set apart. Let's go ahead and read 1 Peter to start us off this morning. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, that now for a little while, if indeed you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though tested by fire, may be found in praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you, love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy, inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched gracefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who is in them, indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering to things which have now been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desired to look into. Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind. Be sober. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So the thought for us is, just as Christ lived a life of holiness and perfection, we are called to do the same. Not that we have to be entirely perfect, but we still have to be different from this world. We have to be different from the world and the ways of the world, the evils of the world, and how the world acts, looks, sees, talks, and everything else. So this morning we're going to look at some ways on how we can be different, how we can be holy, and how we can be set apart. The word holy itself means simply to set apart. Holiness begins, I think, with a shift in our changes in life. In the Old Testament, there were items in the temple, including the bread and the golden bowls and the altars and the robes, the sacrifice and everything that was declared holy, not because those things in and of themselves were holy or morally good, but because they were separated from everyday use and were dedicated exclusively to God. So let's go ahead and look then in Leviticus chapter 20. On this. Leviticus chapter 20, and we'll begin reading in verse 22. Verse 22 says, "You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments, and perform them, that the land where I am bringing you to dwell may not vomit you out. And you shall not walk in the statutes of the nation which I am casting out before you, For they commit all these things, and therefore I abhor them. But I have said to you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, who has separated you from the people. And also verse 26, and you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine. We see here that God was wanting the people of Israel to not conform to the ways, the acts, the evils, the idols of the people in which they were going to be living, to going to travel and live with and be around. Instead, he wanted them to conform to his holiness and his ways, to not walk in the ways of the people around them, how the nations walked in their statutes and their ways, but after God's statutes and after his ways and his laws. And for us, it's really no different. We also are travelers in this foreign land. Once we have put on Christ, we have to become a new person as well. A new life, a new identity. We should no longer be part of the world, but be part of Christ. So just like how God told the Israelites to not follow after the ways of the world, the people, the nations, the gods that they were living in, we too should not also follow after those things. We have modern day idols. We have wickedness in the nation and nations around us. And they have ways that are not ways that we should follow. So once we put on Christ, we become a kingdom of Christ. We become part of that kingdom and are told to not live amongst the world, but instead be loyal to our King and follow his ways, not the ways of those around us. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 warns us too. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. The Greek word here for conform implies that we're being poured into a mold. The world wants us to squeeze us and shape us and look how it expects us to be, but instead we have to do the opposite. We have to be molded by God and his word into the shape that he desires then for us. We have to take off and cast off the anxieties and the materialism and the greed and the lust and everything else in the world in which is trying to shape us, and instead be shaped by God's morality. And don't fall into the snare of the world. We have to be set apart. And being holy means that we refuse to let culture dictate our worth and our morality and ultimately our eternal destiny. So instead, let Christ lead your life, and you will see that his ways are much higher than the world's, and only then will we be transformed into the people that he wants us to be. Being holy also includes looking and acting differently, having a new identity and identity in Christ. Identity always drives behavior as well. If you're truly set apart on the inside, then inevitably how you walk and how you look on the outside will be affected as well. Look with me over in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse 1 down through 17. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for saints. Neither filthiness or foolish talking or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather give thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator or unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are in the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all the things that are exposed are manifested by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So in summary here, we could have just read the first verse, which says, be imitators of God. But then he goes on and explains what that looks like. Avoiding foolish talking. Avoiding lust. Avoiding uncleanness. Avoiding being deceived. Walking in the light. And redeeming the time. I think doing those things and seeing that list will help shape our identity into holiness. And a lot of our identity is, again, how we look. Not necessarily our clothing, but maybe a little bit with modesty and such. But I think more through the fruits of the Spirit, which was also alluded to here. Let's now turn over to Galatians chapter 5 as well. So a couple pages back in Galatians chapter 5. And he will read verses 16 through 25. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And the works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and all the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, and not become conceited, provoking one another, and envying one another. So basically, walk in the Spirit. Put on the identity of the Spirit. Put on the identity of Christ. And remove the things that were listed. There's a whole list of things it says to avoid. But there's also a whole list of things that said to put on. Put on the identity of Christ and all those things. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering, kindness and the like. All those things are the identity of Christ. And in doing these things, I think that holiness should also change our ethics. Ethics in the workplace. Our integrity when no one is watching. Our honesty with ourselves and with others. It means loving our enemies and forgiving those who hurt us. And walking away from sin because you realize it's not a part of what God wants you to be. So if you're going to be holy, we have to walk in the Spirit and put on those good things and remove the bad things from our lives. And also our speech. We as humans are social creatures, and we're also very vocal creatures. On average, a person speaks 12,000 to 16,000 words per day. Those in customer service jobs speak up to 100,000 words. And Scripture talks a lot about speech. As Christians, being part of being holy means setting apart our speech to not sound like the rest of the world either. Let's look over at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll begin reading here in verse 20 down through 32. Ephesians 4:20. For you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth that is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed by the Spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath, or give place for the devil. Let him who steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that we may have something to give who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. We see here we have to put off the old man. We have to put on the new man. We have to be holy, put on holiness. Part of that is putting away lying and corrupt speech. Instead, we're told to use words that are necessary for edification and building up and imparting grace, putting off bitterness and anger and evil speaking. We have to be careful with our words. Our words can easily demean and tear others down. Instead, we need to use our mouths to speak goodness and kindness and build others up. Even here during the middle, he says to not grieve the Holy Spirit, implying that using these negative or coarse words and other such things can do that. Instead, he says to be kind and tenderhearted and forgive. So use soft words. Likewise, verse that's pretty common for us is to season our words with salt. Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer one another." So if we want our speech to be holy, then we have to ensure also that our heart and our mind are holy and set apart as well. Matthew 12:34 says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does speak." So I guess a related question for us, or one for speech, is what's in our hearts? What's in our hearts? Are our hearts set apart? Are our hearts different? Are we feeding our hearts with good things and spiritual things and things that will help us grow closer to the Lord? Or are we feeding our hearts with whatever it desires and hungers for? Because out of the heart, our mouths will speak. And finally, love. To truly be set apart and holy, we have to be living and showing love. A person professing holiness can't be cold and detached and unloving. Scripture teaches that biblical holiness includes being warm and active and connected to other people. You can't be like God and then show disdain towards His creation and towards His people. Let's look in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, here we'll read the first 17 verses. "If then you were raised with Christ, seek things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, you will also appear with Him in glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication and uncleanness and passion, evil desire, covetousness, idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked, and you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off that old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. There is neither Jew nor Greek, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, be holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bear with one another, forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So really, we see kind of a nice summary of all the last points in here too, showing how we should attribute ourselves in speech and in action, but also in love. Verse 14 even calls love the bond of perfection and says it's above all things mentioned before it. So we see that we need to have that love. And part of that love is explained. We need to be tender. We need to be merciful. We need to be kind. We need to be humble. We need to be meek. And we need to be patient. A whole list of ways of how we can show love towards our brethren here, but also towards mankind. I think love is the linchpin, really, in being holy. You notice how Paul connects our holiness directly to compassion and love here. Holiness isn't just about what we do in avoiding sin, but it's also about what we do in pursuing people and helping them. So I think that brings us to our conclusion, and maybe a few takeaways. In summary, being holy isn't just about removing sin, it's also about action. Being holy is about restraining our tongue from evil, but also using it for good. It's about taking off the old man, but it's also about putting on that new man. It's about action and continuous improvement and about growing. Living a life pursuing holiness isn't a restriction either. Sometimes people say that, you know, if I'm going to live holy, it's going to be a restriction to me. And again, it sort of is, but it's also a path of freedom. Freedom with sin, from sin, which has its grip on the world and all the people who are in it. They're shackled to that sin. They're shackled to the world and to Satan and his evil ways. Holiness means being set apart, looking and acting differently in a dark world, and letting your speech reflect the character of Christ and removing those shackles. It's not something that's done instantly, either. We might have dozens of shackles of sin, and we might have to decide to repent from those things and unchain them from our lives. And the Bible is the key to removing those shackles. Study and learn and find what needs to be removed from your life and remove them. I challenge you to take some inventory of your chains. What's holding you back? What is keeping you from in the world and keeping you from looking and acting like you should? And I encourage you to keep strong in this lifelong process of striving for holiness, removing chains, removing sins from your life, and walking the path of the Lord. So, consider yourself this morning. Think about these things today. Think about these things throughout this week. And what in your life is holding you back, and what in your life is not helping you be set apart from the world. And then make action as needed. If you have need from removing these things from your life, for whatever it might be, prayers from the congregation, help in some way, someone to listen, someone to talk with, we're happy to help with those things. Or if you're ready to make your initial commitment to Christ, showing your faith and repentance and confession and being baptized for the remission of your sins, we can also help you with that. If you have a need, let it be known as we stand and as we sing.